Welcome back. Today we are going to talk about another source of finance, which are hybrid financial instruments. We'll see and understand what is hybrid financing, understand and learn the different types of hybrid financing instruments, evaluate the characteristics of various financial instruments under the hybrid mode, and analyze the advantages of hybrid financing, as well as look at the disadvantages of hybrid financing. Let us start by understanding what is the meaning of hybrid financing. So hybrid financing is basically financing through a financial instrument which would have features of both equity as well as debt. Usually it will not have all features of only one kind of a source of capital. So a hybrid financial instrument would not be all equity or it would not be all debt. So debt and equity being two extreme points, hybrid financing will offer a benefit to an investor where it gets benefits of both equity and debt because it's nothing but it lies in the midpoint. The important forms of hybrid financing, if you see, are usually preference capital, convertible debentures, warrants, options, innovative hybrids, and so on. For each of this type, we'll be discussing them in detail in the coming slides. So we'll see what are these preference capital, what is a convertible debenture, warrants, etc. in the next few slides in detail. Talking about hybrid financing has the beauty when it gives the features, different features to an instrument comprising of quality of an equity, wherein you want a fixed dividend, and it doesn't make you the owner. It could be a debt raised. However, the payments would be in terms of profit sharing. So hybrids would give investors both a fixed or a floating rate of return, and the return may be higher compared to a normal dividend of an equity, or it could be better than a debt. That's the reason people prefer hybrid financing over only equity or debt. If you talk about hybrid financing, I'll say hybrid financing is more like a financial arrangement between the investor and the company when you're looking at raising funds from the market. This particular financing adheres to the company's capital needs also, and it also adheres to the terms of the investor, wherein the investor is able to enjoy a better rate with a promise of repayment. In case of hybrid financing structures, these companies would usually give you better flexibility compared to a debt instrument, and the cost compared to raise finance or to lend finance in case of hybrid financing is comparatively lesser. The hybrid financing contract, if it's mutually agreed, the time taken to take up such kind of financing is better. And usually this, it's when you're talking about cost per se of hybrid financing, we'll see a potentially lower cost compared to completely being dependent on debt or completely being dependent on equity. So since it has beauty of equity and debt, this is more preferred. Instead of being a full equity company, a company may looking at source of capital as hybrid financing instrument. Now, what are these different instruments? So first, convertible bonds. Bonds that can be converted into equity shares in future. They are known as convertible bonds. They are one of the best types of hybrid financing. So initially, you enjoy the feature of getting coupons, and later at the date of maturity, instead of getting a repayment of your principal, it gets converted into an equity share. Now, this could further be convertible with an option of getting conversion into an equity share or no, without being a compulsion. Even that kind of convertible bonds are available. Next is mezzanine financing. Mezzanine financing again has features of both equity and debt. If you are an investor who's given me debt, you have an option or a warrant given to you by the company to convert this into equity in future. Such kind of financing is known as mezzanine financing. You may also look at preferred stock with conversion option. That means company has come up with a stock of preference shares and it really wants you to invest in preference with a fixed dividend or a constant dividend rate defined, which is way better than equity at times, with a option of getting converted into equity shares in future. Usually companies would, you know, a lot of investors also want to take a preference share because it has a constant dividend or a fixed dividend prescribed by the company. Moreover, after you look at the performance and you stay invested as preference stock for a period of 3 to 5 years. Maybe you are given an option to convert this into equity in future. So that hybrid financing also helps both the investor as well as company investor get sufficient time to look over if the company is doing good so that it can get itself converted into an equity shareholder. Next could be revenue-based financing. So what is revenue-based financing? A debt holder would give money to the company and instead of asking interest payment, would ask basically for, so I'm going to lend you money and I'm going to ask you, don't pay me interest, but pay me part of profit. So now I am behaving like a debt holder, but I'm getting returns in form of an equity shareholder because profit sharing is committed. Such kind of model is known as revenue-based financing. So I am partnering indirectly with you by lending you money as an investor, asking for a percentage of profit. There could also be hybrid loans. Hybrid loans are, again, they could either be, you know, paid off using equity shares or they could be paid off as a combination of, you know, maybe revenue-based model and interest both. So hybrid loans are basically a combination of repayment terms may have, you know, maybe an equity involved in a debt or it could be a profit sharing done. So that kind of a loan is known as hybrid loan. Public-private partnership. A company may go into partnership with a government entity for some kind of a project. It could be a mandate or maybe there's a government project in which the company is supporting or is part or helping or do the project. In public-private partnership, there are a lot of permutations and combination when it comes to raising money. Government body would give you, you know, subsidized loans at cheaper rates with repayment options available, you know, or maybe conversion of it into, you know, the government may say you'll convert into a stock option or a share after a few years. So public-private partnership is another hybrid financing. And the last one is crowdfunding and peer-to-peer lending. So crowdfunding and peer-to-peer lending is something which is very, very new. What happens usually in crowdfunding is there's a portal wherein people would actually pitch in their ideas and you will ask for, you know, equity or you would ask for debt in this case. And let others who like your idea basically invest into this idea. So crowdfunding may, you are basically going to people through a portal, sharing your business idea and asking them to invest in your company. And they would want equity or debt in return, or it could even be a plain charity for running your business. So there are a lot of crowdfunding platforms which are available, which people use. In India, they are highly popular, you know, crowdfunding platforms for raising a lot of donation for any kind of illness or sickness. But yes, these platforms are highly exploited by small, medium entrepreneurs as well as startups, where students actually post their ideas and, you know, ask for crowdfunding for making the product happen or for designing the product or making a prototype. Let's talk about why look for hybrid financing? So why not equity? Why not debt? What is the purpose of going for a hybrid instrument? So in case you're going for a hybrid instrument, since it gives the benefit of both equity and debt, I would actually want to only pick up those positive factors of each of this capital, whether equity, I want to have dividend. And in case of debt, I want to have a commitment. And so maybe together I form a new hybrid financing instrument, which will enjoy both the positive factors of these two different sources. The purpose is basically to get the best quality, best factors into place, combine them together, devise an investment tool so that more and more investors can invest into a company. You'll find a lot of investors are more attracted towards hybrid financing. They feel that it is better compared to an equity or debt. And this opens up a new avenue of raising funds for the company. Let's talk about what are the different types of hybrid financing. And we've seen, what do you mean by hybrid financing? We said that they enjoy both equity and debt features. Now, let us see what are these instruments. Let's take these four examples, try to understand each in detail. So first, hybrid financing we're going to talk about today is preference capital. Preference capital is basically something like a share. The only difference between an equity share and a preference share is, in case of preference shares, they don't become owners of the company, but they enjoy receiving a fixed dividend. Okay, so we're going to see how it is, you know, enjoying the different positive aspects of debt as well as of equity. Next is convertible debentures. Convertible debentures are those debentures which can get converted into equity shares in future. We're going to talk about them in detail and understand what's advantage, disadvantage of each of this criteria. Third one being warrants. Warrants are basically right which a person would receive. If I'm an investor, I receive a right to basically have a call warrant or a put warrant. I can make money because of the change in the price of the warrant. So if the warrant price goes up, I'm in premium, I would hold that warrant and, you know, later on redeem the warrant. If it goes down, it may go into loss. So we will discuss what to do in case it's a upside or a downside. I have a call or a put warrant which could be used. So it is something like an option wherein you don't have any obligation. So warrants and options don't have any obligation, but it gives you right either to buy or to sell a particular company share in future. So you have a right to convert it into equity, not convert it into equity. Option would also have a similar right or no. So we'll see what are these different instruments and how they are exploited. Let's first take the first one, preference capital. As I said, preference share are the one who will always get an edge over equity. Even when it comes to liquidation, they'll be paid off first. Even while getting paid dividend, preference share would get first dividend compared to an equity. They'll get a constant sum of dividend, but they'll be paid dividend first prior to the equity shareholder. So a lot of investors who want a fixed dividend, especially banks or mutual fund companies or pension fund companies, instead of investing into equity, they want to go for a constant dividend for the pool of investors they are handling. So they would prefer a preference capital over an equity capital. So preference capital is that portion of capital which is raised through issue of preference shares. And this hybrid form of financing has a lot of advantages as well as disadvantages. It has a characteristic of equity since it gives you dividend. However, you don't become the owner of the company. You don't have any voting rights. So there are certain attributes of debentures also imbibed in this particular preference capital. Let's talk about advantage. What are the advantage when it comes to preference capital? First, in case of preference capital, there is no legal obligation on the firm to pay dividend. If the company is making losses, then definitely it is not obliged to pay any kind of dividend. Whereas in case of debenture or term loan, it is a mandate to pay that particular interest. So first advantage, it behaves like a debt, but there is no compulsion of payment of any kind of dividend. The redemption in case of a preference capital is distressful since the shares are redeemed out of the profit and through the issue of fresh shares. So if I want to redeem my preference shares, it is comparatively better than any other form because it is share getting exchanged into a share. So I would have a preference share, you know, share made for 10 years with a maturity of 10 years. So I'll say after 10 years, I want to redeem them. I redeem them and convert into a new preference share, or maybe redeem them and convert them into equity shares. So it could be through an issue of fresh issue. So there is completely de-stressed, companies de-stressed with respect to any kind of redemption of these preference shares. Now, this preference capital is also considered as a major component of the net worth. When somebody is asking you what is the net worth of the company, you'll add the equity share capital, you'll add the preference share capital and all your retained earnings and reserves and surplus. So it increases the net worth of the company. However, if it would have been a debt, it doesn't get added to my net worth. So this enjoys one of the positive factor of an equity capital. It has one feature which says you get added to the net worth and that increases the credit worthiness of the firm in the market. It does not enjoy any voting rights. I said equity shareholders are owners. They have the voting rights. Preference share capital or preference shareholders will never have the voting rights. And there is no such dilution of control. Since they are not the owners, they don't have any voting rights. So you have lesser owners only who are your equity shareholders who are going to do the vote. These are per se advantages of preference capital. Let's talk about disadvantages. First biggest disadvantage in case of preference capital is very expensive. As compared to debt, a preference shareholder will always ask you an interest higher than a debenture. So it's comparatively costlier. So if there is 10% interest, I'm looking for 11% dividend. Okay, so this is costlier than debt. Although there is no legal obligation to pay any of the preference dividend, while the payment is made, it is done always along with arrears. So this year, maybe I made a loss. I'm not going to pay my preference share people any dividend, or maybe I don't have sufficient money to pay off the entire dividend. So in the next year, when I make profit, I will pay this year's arrears plus next year dividend together. Okay, so preference shareholder can claim prior to the equity shareholder while the company is going for liquidation. So what happens here is, if I have more preference capital, they will have a higher claim. I would have less equity shareholders who want to invest in my company, because they know the claim would become less while winding up and they'll be at a loss. If the company does not pay or skips the preference dividend for some time, then the preference shareholders could acquire the voting rights. So now what happens is, as a company, you say that though I've committed dividend payment to preference shareholder, I don't want to pay them this year and the next year. And if you continuously keep on doing this, these preference shareholder would then have voting rights and they'll decide whether they want a dividend or no. So they will automatically get the voting rights because of the nature of you not paying them or defaulting, or maybe you're trying to postpone the payment of dividend in the future years. This was about preferential. Let's now talk about debentures. We already know what are debentures. So we said debentures are debt instruments. They are promissory note. They behave like bonds. The only difference is debentures don't have a collateral. Now, what are these convertible debentures? Let's talk about them in detail. So convertible debentures are those which would get converted into an equity share in future. The entire terminology convert means, while they're getting redeemed, they are not usually paid off in cash. They would be paid in the form of equity. Now, this equity could also be an option, whether the investor wants it to get converted into equity or no. In future, for a stipulated period, you may hold it, or you may just, you know, give back that particular equity share to the company. So these convertible debentures would basically behave like a loan till the time they are a debenture. So they remain a debt instrument. And while they are redeemed, that get converted into an equity instrument, because now you will hold an equity share for the debenture. For a particular period, you are debt, and post that, you get converted into an equity based on whatever has been pre-decided while these debentures were floated. So some special circumstances would be mentioned. How would this particularly instrument behave? Now, when we talk about convertible debentures, you will typically find that there are three types of convertible debentures. First, which will compel you to get converted within 18 months of the issue. So there is a compulsory convertible debenture issued by the company, wherein you remain a debt for the first 18 months, and post 18 months, it's an automatic or a compulsory conversion into equity share. Second, it could be an optional convertible debenture. So you're going to give an option to the holder to get himself or herself converted into an equity share within 36 months of the issue. So I've issued it today. I have 3 years to decide whether I want to convert this into an equity share or no. Now, these debentures could also come with options. It could be a call option or a put option in case the conversion exceeds 36 months. Now, you did not convert your debenture into an equity share within this 36 months. So post 36 months, that is 3 years, company will give you a call or a put option. Either you buy it, okay, buy. So you convert this into an equity share, or you sell it off to the company. So you could be given options instead of equity share, and you can decide whether you want to still hold them as debentures or no. Now, we talked about debentures and we said you have a call option or a put option post 36 months, then why not have them from day one? So that feature could be found in the next hybrid financing instrument, which is warrants. Now, what is warrant? Warrant is very closely related to option. It looks very similar to option. A person who is holding a warrant would basically be guaranteed that he would be provided with specific number of underlying instruments and price for those instruments which are fixed previously. So if I am a warrant holder, I will get a right, or, you know, it's not an obligation, I will get a right to convert my warrant into, say, one warrant into 10 equity shares in futures, or maybe 10 preference shares in future, or I will get a put option to sell them at the average or the highest price in the market. Now, here again, what is important to understand, Warrant could be a call warrant or a put warrant. You are getting the right and there is no obligation for you to convert it. Fine. So these stock warrants are like options. They're going to give you the right, but not an obligation to buy or sell the security at a specific time or date. So you're free to do that anytime. Okay, you may still hold it and not convert it at all. So you just have an option for conversion available. Now, these warrants also enjoy the benefits of a higher maturity period over the options. We'll see that options would be basically up to a year or two or so, or maybe less than 5 years. But in case of warrants, they could be even issued for more than 15 years. So up to 15 years, you can have a warrant, while in case of option, they would usually expire in 2 or 3 years. Typically, 1 year option is what we've seen, but 2 or 3 years is the maximum. But in case of warrants, it's giving you a right for up to 15 years. The company would usually add the warrant with its new security or offerings. And therefore, whenever an investor exercises this warrant, he gets a newly issued stock rather than the existing outstanding stock. Warrants would always come out of fresh issue. So whatever you're going to get or get a right in future would be out of the new issue. And you will not usually get it from whatever is outstanding or remaining stock with the company. So warrants help the company come up with a new issue in future. And so we would get some as an investor. We would understand at which year the company is going to come and raise money in form of fresh issues. Coming to the fourth and an interesting one, which is stock options. Stock options, as we know, the name option, it's a derivative instrument. It has the features of all the derivative instrument. Since it's again giving you a right as a holder, but not an obligation to buy or sell your outstanding stocks at a specified price and on a specific date. Now, the major difference between warrant and option is warrants would be usually, would be intercompany transactions, whereas stock options are usually traded on OTC market. So these would be traded in market, whereas in case of warrants, they would be through mutual understanding, it could be intercompany, more intercompany compared to an option. So these stock options would be always traded on security exchange like other shares, whereas warrants are, as we discussed, it would be over the counter, maybe a private deal or maybe with an investor pre-decided. Whereas an option, I'm not finding an investor, I'm just trading it in the security market and anybody is free to you invest into it. People would purchase these stock options if they believe that the stock price is likely to go up or down soon. So I'm going to buy a warrant of Reliance today if it's available for, say, 2,000 rupees with an expectation of it becoming 5,000 rupees in future. So that's the beauty of an option. In case of warrant, if I'm an investor, which I'm a bank, I'll do a deal with the company and buy a warrant, similar warrant on the OTC market instead of coming to security market. Here as a normal retail investor, I'm going to buy the stock option. So people would purchase this stock option thinking that the price is going to go up and they're going to make profit. It is as good as trading in shares. The stock options are usually issued to specific employees of the company and they are also known as employee stock options. I'm sure most of you will be owning employee stock options of your company and these are given instead of giving salary or bonuses or profits. So if your salary has a variable component where the part profit is shared with the employees, company may give you stock options instead of giving you those bonus in form of cash. So very, very, lucrative one for a lot of top leading management team in the company because the quantum of options you receive is very good. And if it's a growing company, you know that your bonus is increasing every year with a higher rate of interest, which you would have not got in case it was dead. Now, this is with respect to the four instruments. Let's understand what are the advantages or what are pros and cons for going for hybrid financing. If a company is going for hybrid financing, first advantage or first pro factor could be having diversified funding sources. So company is already dealing into equity, is already dealing into debt. This hybrid financing would add a flavor with having a midpoint wherein you can now you can attract more number of investors to come and look at financing in your company. So it will help you with diversified funding sources. Next, it will give you flexibility. See, hybrid financing is an instrument which is designed by the company. And it gives a lot of flexibility to the company to design this particular financing instrument, maybe which they want to privately place with an investor. So I'm an investor. I want some features of equity, some features of debt in the money which I'm going to lend you. In that case, we mutually decide how the terms would be, how the instrument would be, how the repayment would be, and we create one hybrid financing instrument which you could trade on OTC market. So it gives the flexibility to both investor as well as the company to decide their own terms with respect to the financial instrument. Here, in case of hybrid financing, risk sharing is better. Why? Some features of equity, some features of debt. So debt, we say, is comparatively riskier because of interest payment. Equity is not that risky for the company per se. However, if equity shareholders don't get good amount of profit or dividend every year, they'll exit. So for an investor point of view, high risk, high return is equity. From a company point of view, they know it's better, you know, for any kind of investor coming back. But in case of hybrid financing, company is more happy because these financing people don't become owners of the company and dilute the ownership. Plus, they are okay taking a dividend instead of interest. So risk gets divided in that case. These hybrid financing instruments also have a potential for higher leverage. So they are preferred by a lot of companies which are looking, or investors which are looking for giving you a huge amount of debt in form of preference share. So you don't want to take a debt with an interest commitment, but you're okay taking a high level of debt in form of preference share by giving fixed dividend or constant dividend. So investors would prefer, even company would prefer. So it is a very good way in raising huge amount of debt. Let's talk about cons. The biggest con is complexity about the instrument. It's difficult to understand what kind of instrument to design, whether the investor would like it, not like it. There are a lot of permutation and combination in hybrid financing. I may add in the dividend. I may, you know, also give an option to convert this into equity share in future. So there is a lot of complexity in hybrid financing, and it becomes important for any finance head or manager to sit across and understand how would this impact the company's intrinsic value going forward. So it's complex to understand how this will impact in future the entire market scenario. So I've given my investors an option or a compulsory conversion of equity share. So my equity share number gets increased, and so my dividend per share gets impacted, my earning per share gets impacted, and so on. So whether my normal investors will like it or no is something a complex question to ask too. So this is all about hybrid financing. We'll try to look at long-term finance and small business finance in the coming session. Thank you.